Welcome to the Bank Marketing Show, the podcast that engages and informs you for success in today's marketplace. It's the show that will make you a better marketer with trends, tactics, and inspiration from experts and industry leaders. If you're wanting to impact your personal success and position your bank as the best choice in your market, you're in the right place. Now let's dive into today's show with your hosts, Chris and Dan.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Bank Marketing Show. It is the last episode of 2023.
Wow.
Chris, it's good to see you.
Great to see you, Dan. That's a mind blower, isn't it? It's going fast.
I don't know how this year has just sort of whizzed by. This is wrapping up our second year of the podcast.
Yep, it's wrapping up our second year of the podcast, and it's been, Dan, I know, a really cool year for us because we have seen more and more monthly downloads and activity, and we've heard, you know, feedback and reaching out from a lot of you guys as our listeners too. So it's made it a really great and fun year for the show. So lets us know we're on track, Dan.
Yeah, I think so. I like to say, like, we do this every other week or so, and we talk into our microphones and like send the files out into the void. And it's always good when we hear feedback from people listening. So we've heard from a few of y'all over the last couple months, and you know, we love that stuff. So if you're listening and you have some thoughts, you just want to say hi, please reach out. We love to kind of hear back.
There you go.
Joining the spirit of the holidays.
Well, and if you haven't done so yet, hit the subscribe, depending on the channel that you're listening to, Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you're listening to us. And or if you're checking it out on YouTube, you can go there as well. And be sure and follow us those ways too. So we're glad to have all of you guys. And we're really excited about what we're doing today. Dan, it's more than a recap of the year. We're kind of pulling out some of our best nuggets from the year. So as I said to you before we started, it's kind of like cheating for our listeners. We're going to kind of give them some a little bit of cliff notes and some tidbits and high points from some of our best guests through the year. So I think this will be a cool way to do this.
Yeah. If you're new to the podcast and you want to go back and listen to the, probably 20 some odd hours of footage we've churned out this year. We're going to try to touch on a lot of it as we go through today. So kind of wrap up the year, give you a good kind of kickoff for 2024. And if you're listening to this right when it comes out, it's kind of the week between Christmas and New Year's, which for me is always a good, you know, hey, take some time off if you can. But if you're not doing, you know, if you're working, like, it's always a good time to reflect and think through what you've accomplished in the year and what you want to take into next year. So my note of encouragement for this episode is listen to what we're saying and see if there's like one thing you can fold into your plans for even just for January or Q1, you know, fold something in, do something a little bit different. And hopefully we can help you with that.
No doubt we've got content in here, Dan, that folks can pull one or maybe many more that are applicable to what they're doing. So that's a great suggestion. Spot on. And I know what you and I did in preparation for this show was we decided to break this into four categories. So we'll go through these. And the first one that we put out there was about brand, which we've had several episodes and guests on that were, you know, and again, this is brand with a big B. This is not your logo. This is brand, and where is your brand going? What is the voice of your brand? What is all of these things? So we had some really great episodes around that this year, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, the one that really always pops to mind is we had Allison and Liz, the authors of Think Like a Brand, Not a Bank. You got it there.
Yeah. So if you're listening, you can't see me waving the book, but Think Like a Brand, Not a Bank. I've got the book right here on the side of my desk and tons of notes sticking out of it. So yeah, if you didn't listen to that episode, just go get the book.
Yeah, it's a must read, right? I think for anybody in a bank. whether you're, you know, teller, $20 billion bank CEO, I think it's a great read of just getting you to kind of shift your perspective of what a brand really is. And you've heard us say on this show, like, your banking is commoditized. You're all selling money. The thing that really differentiates you is your brand, right? And you might say, you know, it's our customer service. It's our, you know, commitment to the community. Like, but those things are inherently part of your Big B brand. Mm-hmm. And that book does a great job of kind of, you know, walking you through it and talking to have, telling you kind of how to have a brand first mindset, and what, you know, what makes a powerful brand. And there's a good example in there about like Starbucks, right? Of like, Starbucks is just coffee anywhere, similar to banking, but like, what makes you go to Starbucks, right?
And be willing to pay $5 plus for a cup of coffee, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Well, and that's what they did a good job of in the book, is pulling out what your value drivers are, and then how to get them out there, you know, and that's really moving your brand forward, really significant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dan, another one that came to mind under brand also was, we had Joanne Marsili come and talk about the voice of the customer, and it was really, really around customer service versus customer experience. And I love where she went with customer experience.
Yeah. Fewer customers coming into the bank, with even small banks competing with, you know, competing at least on perception with big banks, right? The experience is the whole thing, right? And customer service, like calling and not getting a you know, press one for...
to get lost.
For this. Yeah. Like a lot of banks talk about, like, well, you call and you get a real person, right? That's customer service. It's also part of this bigger customer experience. So...
Well, and she talked a bit about
all the interactions with the bank. Is your website frustrating?
The top to bottom. That's right. The friction-free experience, Dan. And right, from phone call to website to, you know, reading a collateral piece to whatever, and then all the way through, whether it was account opening, all the way through to service and loans and everything else, and having that friction-free experience. So Joanne had some great stuff in that episode.
Yeah. Well, we did an episode on brand voice too.
Yeah. Wait, which turned out to be one of the most popular of the year. It was really cool.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that. That's cool. That's awesome. I think it's just every bank has a brand, right? So just, you know, you need to be doing things to improve it, to move it forward. We kind of broke all that down in that episode. But there were, what, five key components we talked through. So if you're looking to do something with your brand, you know, if you know your brand needs a little bit of help, you know, it's, there's a lot you can do short of a full renaming and rebranding, right? There's a lot more of gray space in there. So that's a good one to check out if you're wanting to do something with brand next year.
Yeah, and brand voice was about pulling out that differentiator and then how to speak that out in your marketing. And Dan, if you remember, we gave away a free guide sheet on that, and we can extend that offer again. So if anybody listening today wants that brand voice guide sheet, reach out to us through our website, through bankmarketingshow.com, and we can pass that along to you again.
Yeah. So you mentioned four categories. What's
yeah.
The next one?
So the second big one fell under marketing tactics, or marketing tactics and channels. And we had several episodes this year that brought that to mind, that were really diving into the nitty gritty, you know, so to speak, and some really cool experts in, you know, inside of specific tactic areas that gave us some, you know, I think gave our listeners some tremendous information.
Yeah, I remember, I think the first person we talked to was Rhea Iyengar. We talked about kind of how to use CRM better, right? And it CRMs these days are, you know, extending just beyond a sales tool into, you know, website personalization and, you know, segmented, you know, email marketing. And I think, you know, if you have a CRM system, you know, like Salesforce is the biggest example, but there's a lot of extensions you can do, probably even if you've had it for years. Like there might be some easy extensions you can do to personalize something. I've seen a lot of bank websites recently that, you know, you go to the homepage and it says, are you small business? Are you personal? Are you a large business or whatever, merchant services? And, you know, you can choose, and then it personalizes. You know, the next time you come to the homepage, you get driven right into those products. So there's a lot of cool things that are actually pretty simple these days if you've got the right technology there. So Rhea talked us through a lot of that, but it just, I think the takeaways, there's some really simple ways to just to add some personalization.
Yeah. Well, and Dan, even though your agency and mine, we do a lot of digital advertising for our bank clients, I think we both learned a lot from Elena Levine when she came in and really took digital ad tracking and dove deep into ROI and performance marketing from digital ads and going well beyond just the surface numbers of, impressions or whatever the case may be, and dug a lot deeper than that in digital ad tracking. That was a really cool episode with Elena.
Yeah, I think even for small banks, you know, it is possible to track the ROI of your digital spend impression report, but, it is possible to track it. You should be tracking it, right? A lot of banks struggle to get budget for digital, right? And then what happens is you just put a little bit of money into digital and you're not tracking ROI, and you get to the end of the year and, you know, your leadership is like, oh, well, what was it? We don't have ROI from this, or we're going to cut that budget or take it away. So I know we talked through a few tactics. Alana's company's got, you know, some really, really simple and I think relatively inexpensive tracking software for this. But, you know, short of that, there's some ways you can set up, you know, Google Analytics and tools like that to just track it. You can, you know, as you're running digital ads, see who came to a website from an ad. What do they do on the website? You know, did they get into your online application funnel? What did they do after they went there? And you can combine that with other reporting you have and get a sense of how your ads are doing for the bank.
That's right. And we know that bank leadership loves to see that. What are the outcomes? Yeah. Exactly what, you know, what are our dollars doing? And that digital ad tracking was huge in doing that. So in speaking of numbers too, Dan, I know some guys that you have begun to work with closely and all that we had on for a great episode around data-driven marketing.
Yeah. Yeah. So our last episode was with Devere and Elon from a company called Insight. And my company, Tunova, we just formed a partnership with them. They have a really interesting platform that helps banks do data-driven marketing without really having to, you know, build a big data warehouse or do a bunch of data cleanup just for that. So, and they have, you know, an AI model that helps find the right segments. So, and you know, we're starting to lay our services on top of that with, hey, great, you've used AI to figure out your segments. Now we need to go out and reach them, right? So what's the best approach to reach them and how do you do that? But they've had some great results with just, you know, CD campaigns recently and kind of trying to prove this process in real life. You know, can we do some analysis and find the customers that might be most relevant or most apt to move some money into a CD? And what they found was, by doing that, yeah, you get customers that are moving money from like a savings account into a CD, but then they're also bringing money in from, you know, new money to your institution, money from their other accounts outside of your institution. So there's some real benefits to it where, you know, kind of a spray and pray or just email blast to all your customers wouldn't be as relevant to everybody, and you're not gonna see those results, right? And we got into that episode too. We got into the differences in generations, right? And so, you know, not just sending out email blasts, but can you determine from the data who might be more apt to open a text message or answer a phone call or open an email or whatever, you know, whatever that is, can be part of the segmentation too. But it's really hard to do that manually. But they've, you know, they're pioneering some approaches to doing that from the data side. And part of what I'm working on with them is just how to make that super easy for banks to implement and operationalize.
Well, and a great takeaway from that one, Dan, also was it may sound obvious, but it's not always implemented that, for example, if you want to be communicating with and talking to Gen Zers, you know, you utilize the platforms where they spend time and exist. And again, that's kind of sounds like it's stating the obvious, but without actually implementing that, you know, and paying attention to responsiveness and data and all of that, then, you know, you're missing the mark and thinking, oh, we want to be bringing in younger customers into the bank, which is what we hear in community banking all the time. But how do you do that? Yeah,
right.
So it was a good one.
I think you're doing a preview of I think the next episode that's going to come out that we're going to sneak peek here in this one too, with just talk about the differences between Gen Z and millennials.
Yeah, we did hit that again right here at the end of the year. And so of the four categories we're going to cover today and kind of recapping and pulling nuggets out of these episodes, strategy and growth was the next one, Dan, and another really cool one around the neuroscience of messaging, I thought was a phenomenal episode.
Yeah, really think about, the biggest thing for me was just out of that one was the idea that what you think sounds like a good message is not necessarily the one that resonates with customers. And people are not rational. People are emotion driven, right? And often, you know, you're opening an account or forming a new bank relationship, reaching out to a new bank because you're angry, right? Or at your current bank, or you're just frustrated at a situation and you're at your breaking point, right? And so the messaging that works often isn't just the trusted and local, like, stronghold. We've been here 127 years. It's the, hey, you're frustrated. We're not as frustrating. We can help. So Grant Gooding of Proof Positioning is a market research company that just focuses on this, the neuroscience of messaging. And they do, research studies that help brands, help banks understand what messages, what marketing messages will resonate. So kind of put some science, put some data back to kind of fuel behind the creative work that you're doing.
Yeah, and what cuts through the noise and has that emotional grab that is going to incite, a better remembrance or a call to action or whatever the case may be. And it's because you touched my love or anger or excitement or, whatever the case may be in that emotional spectrum, rather than, as you say, delivering a tagline of, we've been here for 100 years. Okay, but the neuroscience that Grant brought into that, shows what incites action, and really great way to think about that messaging going forward.
Right, 100 years message against other ones, and show you in data what will perform. It's really interesting stuff.
Yep.
We also talked to on the strategy and growth front. One of my long-term clients. Heidi Mijay of Midwest Bank Center out here in St. Louis. And, another kind of growth aspect is, that we kind of harp on a lot on this podcast is leaning into your mission, leaning into your value as a bank. And Midwest Bank Center does an amazing job. One of the best I've seen in the industry on leading with their mission. They have a campaign called Rising Together that really just talks about, hey, like, as a community bank, right, part of our job is to help the community rise together, right? If we as a community bank are investing in community development, whatever that means in your community, I mean, we're here in St. Louis, it means a lot of things, right? There's some very high income areas and some very low income areas. If we're investing, in the low income areas, it can actually benefit the city overall. And they understand that. And they made that part of their mission, and it's a huge part of their marketing, and it's a great case study of how to not just say you're a community bank, not just say trusted and local, we've been here 100 years, but show what you're doing.
Yes, what Heidi was talking about was all of that, and another piece that was really cool also was how they bring that and live it internally, even with their team structure and how they are. Mission-driven amongst their team, and then to even take that a step further is how they partner with agencies like you guys and other partners, and how they have that same expectation of carrying out that mission with all of their partners. And that was such a refreshing top-to-bottom perspective, of how to live that out. Don't just say that you're about mission, but live it out. And she and Heidi gave us some great insight into how they really live that out and therefore impact St. Louis and the community and all of that. And it's something that every community bank could replicate.
Yeah. Their marketing campaign this year has their CEO in a rehab home with a sledgehammer. Like, that's, and it's not like he does this stuff, right? It's it's not a contrived kind of thing. It's actually part of their mission and his driving force. And it's really powerful, really powerful stuff.
It was. And speaking of powerful, Dan, segueing into our fourth category here of professional and personal development, we had some really amazing guests come in. And I think as part of the purpose and mission of our show, obviously, is to give tips, insights, bring in experts and around lots of things. But that also includes how to make us better. Mm-hmm. And when we as individuals are better than the company and the bank and all of that, the tide rises, right? So that's what was really cool. And I think my favorite example from that this year was having Neil Stevens in, the CEO of Oconee State Bank in Georgia, and his visionary bank leadership and their team. Boy, you want to talk about living it out. And his talk with us, Dan, was around connection and leadership. And he even got to share with you and our listeners, too, the principles of his Leading on Life book, which were really cool.
Yeah, I love those episodes of just, we're mentioning some takeaways here, but I think for these like professional development ones, you really just need to listen to it, you know, and get into that mindset. I think it takes some time to sometimes to get when you're go, go, go and trying to knock off everything on your to-do list to get into that mindset of self-care and professional development takes some time. So I think these episodes are really ones you should go back and listen to for sure. But yeah, it was great to hear, you know, you don't always hear company leaders, bank leaders talking about developing their teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not that they're not thinking about it, just it's a topic that's not talked about as much. So I think just his approach, his perspective on how he treats his team and how he kind of comes to work every day is really, really amazing.
It is. And Neil lives that out too, because this year he's, you know, president of a state banking association. He's a CEO of a growing bank, and he lives out developing his team members, as you say, as individuals.
Yeah.
And in terms you don't always hear associated with banking, the four key principles from that book of his are lead, which is love, equip, affirm, and develop. And really gave us some great insight into what each of those mean and how they marry together in developing individuals and teams. And the outcome from that is given. It's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was a great one.
Yeah, I think flipping that to the other one, the other episode in this category is with Allison Barks about talking about recruiting and sort of the secret sauce of recruiting. And, you know, the takeaway there was kind of like, you know, hiring is harder these days, right? And companies, banks that focus on their people, focus on internal development and the sort of the love, equip, affirm, develop stuff that Neil's talking about. If you've got that perspective on your internal team, it's going to come out in your recruiting, and it's going to help you stand out. So she talked a lot about, you know, for a community bank to do better recruiting, you need to stand out, and it's not enough to just say we're a great place to work. It's like we were talking about with Midwest Bank, you've got to show it and, you know, talk about how it's different than a big company, and, you know, you can actually have a different. I guess like we say with digital advertising, you're not going to outspend, you're not going to out advertise Bank of America, right? So you can't out recruit the big banks either. You can't out recruit big companies either. You may not have the, I don't know, just it's just different. But you, if you're focused on the development of your culture, focused on being a great place to be and be, and you know whatever that means for you, be flexible, be. Help people grow in their careers the way they want to. You know, if you can make that come out in your recruiting, you will stand out and you will be different.
Yeah. Well, and Allison mentioned, you know, be proud of and in your recruiting, you know, talk about family atmosphere and, you know, typical long-term, you know, job stints and security and those types of things. I mean, if those are things that make your community bank stand out from a larger corporation or a big bank, then shout it from the mountaintop. You know, be attractive to those you want to recruit by those are enormous sell points. you know, for people and what can emotionally want them to really consider, oh, wow, that seems attractive to me to go to work for that community bank because that sounds like a great environment, great bunch of people. So, yeah, not just listing on Indeed, you know, bank CSR. Well, okay, so, you know, but
yeah, because then you're competing with every other bank CSR, you know, job spec out there. But if you're right, if you're making it a story, if you're making it about a family, it's gonna be different. I mean, if you're looking for a bank CSR job, you generally know what a bank CSR is, and the bullets, you know, the typical like roles and responsibility type of bullets that are on a, you know, a job listing are the same across most banks. So make yours different. Do, you know, don't just do the bullet point format. You know, start out with that sentence. Say, you know what a bank CSR is, right? This is a bank CSR job, but here's how we're different.
There you go. Well, and Dan, I know the last one we wanted to kind of, I guess, preview a little bit and kind of give a sneak peek about here. It's still under professional and personal development, but is our next episode that's yet to come. So it'll kick off the new year. And that was with Dr. Brett Andrews and his really, really cool and amazing insight into connecting with millennials and Gen Z, which is what, I mean, you know, my agency works with 65 banks, Dan. And that is probably the most common thread of the goal sets of all of our community banks is we need younger customers. We need younger folks. We need to communicate and message better with and all of that. So this upcoming episode, I want to encourage people to, again, great reason to hit the subscribe if you haven't. But in a couple of weeks, listen to this with Dr. Brett Andrews and how he defines millennials and Gen Zs and the communication, how to speak to them, how to connect with them well, and incentivize them to both want to join your team from one perspective, and also to how to get them to listen to your marketing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, sort of what is it, the 7 habits of highly effective people, like seek first to understand. Like that's that's what I came out of that recording thinking about was, right, it's everybody says, we need to reach, you know, Gen Z. And, but there's a step in there of trying to really understand the needs and wants and fears and hopes of the generation you're trying to reach. And we make the point in the episode of like, you know, millennials today could be 26 or like 45. And there's a huge difference in terms of like banking services that a 26-year-old needs versus a 45-year-old. Yet, you know, they could be bucketed in that millennial group. So, you know, it's remembering that just the definitions of millennials and Gen Z are not applicable to banking directly. You've got to modify them and really seek to understand them. So stay tuned. That's coming out next. That'll be a little energy going into the next year.
Definitely a great way to kick off the new year is to listen to that episode with Brett Andrews. We would encourage you to do so. Well, Dan, man, to switch gears and wrap up here, I want to express my personal gratitude both to you as a partner and a co-host, and what a great year that it's been. I think one of the underlying things you and I saw it more than 2 years ago when we decided to put this together and start this bank marketing show was to serve others, to help them to learn, to provide takeaways and bring in experts and all the things that we continue to do, so that what we're hopefully providing is really meaningful and impactful to all of you guys, our listeners, that we are tremendously grateful for. And, you know, and as such, spread the word, you know, put it out there and encourage other bankers and those you interact with in the industry and at conferences and all those kind of things to join in to this as well. And we're looking forward to continuing to grow and a great new year ahead, Dan.
Yeah, likewise. I'm very grateful for our partnership and all, you know, all of you out there that listen. Like we said at the beginning, we'd love to hear from you. If there's other topics you want to hear, if there's other things you want to get our perspective on, you know, drop us a note and we're, you know, we'd love to kind of customize this for you as well and continue to provide things that are valuable going into our third year of this.
There you go. Great invitation. Yeah. Thanks for putting that out there, Dan. Well, folks, thanks for being with us today. Go to bankmarketingshow.com, and that is the way that you can reach us. We have talked about all of these expert guests that we had on and all of these different episodes throughout 2023. So that's the best way to do it. Go to our website, flip through those past episodes and find the ones that you're like, yeah, I'd really like to learn more about that. And then stay tuned for the future. And we appreciate all of you.
Thanks for joining us. To go deeper or get access to some of the valuable nuggets from today's show, go to bankmarketingshow.com. There you'll find episodes, links to resources, and much more. Be sure to subscribe wherever you find your podcasts. And join us next time.